whichever time you're listening to. I hope your day is off to a good start and that God is taking good care of you. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. And we know this, Jesus loves you. We would like to see you empowered to do great things for the kingdom of God. I was in a conversation with somebody and I said, you know, the premise of the article that was being presented was that there are some people who are so afraid of losing power that they embrace ungodly forms of government. And I said, that's not the way that we operate in the church. And there were some people who ridiculed that. I want you to understand, I don't care who you are or where you came from. I want to preach the word of God that sets captives free, and empowers you to live the life that God always wanted you to live. And, you know, so if you're looking for a bunch of people that look just like me at Merit Assembly of God, you're not going to necessarily find them. Okay? You're going to find some people that come from all over the globe. We love the fact that we are not monochromatic. We're not all the same age. There's a wide age range there. We want to be a representation of what it looks like to worship around the throne room of heaven, where it is people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation on planet Earth. Not because we needed a token representative, but because they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and they knew they needed to repent of their sins just like everybody else needed to repent of their sins. So they did repent of their sins and Jesus came in and became the love of their eternity. Actually, today is a little bit of a somber day of reflection for me. This day holds specific significance in my life. And, I recognize today that my mother is worshiping the love of her forever. My dad was the love of her life. Jesus was the love of her eternity. And I'm so thankful that today she is restored, she's healthy, and she is vibrantly worshiping around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I pray that you will make it your goal for that to be your final destination as well. Today we're going to talk about, how miserable do you want to be? How miserable do you want to be? I thought I created a term. Other people have created a term like it as well, and that is a misery index. My firm belief is that if you want to be miserable, you don't want to be a Christian. That the more sin you choose, the more miserable you are going to be. And so I want to talk to you today about God delivers us from misery. From misery. And we're going to look at a miserable prophet. He was a prophet who didn't want to preach to the people God sent him to. He didn't want to preach the message God sent him to preach. He didn't want to preach in a manner that they would respond in a favorable way to the message. And yet he didn't want to be miserable at all. So let me start, and we're going to be in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10. And it says, of chapter 3, I'm sorry, Jonah chapter 3, verse number 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life for me, or from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah, this is chapter 4, verse number 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah so that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Now, I want you to understand, the people of Nineveh, they were Assyrians. They were some of the most vicious people on planet Earth. They were a people that were without mercy. They were the people who came and carried off Israel into captivity. And they are the people who came and made it as far as Jerusalem, thinking that they would do to Judah what they did to Israel, the 10 northern tribes. And that was when they were turned back and they were defeated and they were weakened. And pretty soon the Babylonians came, and that was the last you hear of the Assyrians. But God was concerned about them. The prophet Nahum also addresses the Assyrian people, the people of Nineveh. That was their capital. And Jonah, because of how vicious they were, because of everything that they did, Jonah didn't like them. He hated them, and he didn't want to see them repent. He didn't want to see them get their relationship with God, and he certainly didn't want God showing them any mercy. And so he was very angry when God did demonstrate mercy. And so God prepares a plant to grow up. Jonah is just sitting there waiting, watching for destruction. And he's very miserable because a plant grows up over his head, and the plant was for this purpose. It is in verse number 6, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. This plant grew up at the command of God. I want you to know today that you've probably got different circumstances than what Jonah was facing, but you will probably still utilize some of the same justifications to have some animosity or hatred towards some people. And if you're not careful, you will find yourself an angry Christian the same way as Jonah was an angry prophet. I would rather be Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, than I would be Jonah, the angry prophet. No one needs to see angry Christians. It's just not going to benefit anybody. And so God began to minister to Jonah in such a way because he wanted him to be delivered from being miserable. He wants you to be delivered from being miserable. So I want to take you on this journey, because we need to figure out how we got here if we're going to figure out how God is going to deliver us from this misery that we find ourselves in. I pray that you make a choice not to be miserable. Okay? Make a choice not to be miserable. I remember having a time of prayer with God, and I said, God, I don't want to be an angry old man. This was over 25 years ago when I prayed this prayer. I said, God, I don't want to be an angry old man. Then he said, and he, his response was, then don't be an angry young man. It's like, okay, well, that's a game plan. And if you realize that you have that tendency or inclination towards being miserable more than you're happy, I encourage you to address the situation. Romans chapter 3, I want to read to you from verse 9 to verse number 18. It says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they practice deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So I want you to make a note of this broadcast. That way you can go back and you can listen to it at 10:30 on WWBC, or you can go back at 5 o'clock and you can listen to it again here on WMIE, or you can go back to WMIEFM.com and you can type in June the 11th, 2020, and you can listen on demand. Okay, I don't have time to camp here, so I'll just tell you that if you want to be miserable, then don't be righteous. Because unrighteousness is the path to misery. Don't try and understand the things of the Spirit, because a lack of understanding is the path to misery. If you want to be miserable, don't seek God, because not seeking Him is the path to misery. Become unprofitable. Don't have a purpose. Don't live for a good reason. You know, just consider, you know, the fact that you're alive to be God's gift to humanity, and you don't have any purpose. You don't have any reason to get up or go about to function, and you will find that that is not a healthy lifestyle. You will find that that is a miserable lifestyle. You have a purpose. God created you on purpose for His purpose. Don't do anything good, and you know what you're going to find? You're miserable. Okay? I've known some people who didn't do anything, and they were absolutely horribly miserable people. Use your mouth as a weapon, and you will find that you are miserable. If you are quick to injure and harm other people, you are going to find that you are going to be not happy, but miserable. Abandon the way of peace, and certainly do not live in awe of God if you want to be miserable. So if you don't want to be miserable, you want to be righteous, you want to gain understanding, you want to seek after God, you want to find out what His purpose is in your life, you want to do good for yourself and for other people, you want to use your mouth as an agent of blessing and not cursing, you want to be quick to help people, not injure people, and you want to be a person who builds people up, and you want to know peace, and you want to live in awe of God, and you know what you're going to find? You're not going to be inclined to misery. You're going to be filled with the joy of the Lord. So you can go back, and that's from Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Abandon the path that leads to misery so you don't end up there. The next one, I wrote these notes down, and then I couldn't read my own writing. I had to go back and say, what is that actually trying to say? And I finally figured out what passage it was. I want to take you to the book of Ecclesiastes, which is right after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and it says this. In verse number 4, where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. It says here that you and I, if we are left to our own devices, I know that there is a saying that says time heals all wounds, but I tell you this, if you are miserable, time will not make you less miserable. If you continue on that path, your misery is only going to intensify. I wonder if some of the people that we label depressed aren't just depressed. They're depressed because they're miserable. I'll say that again. Let me say it a different way. I believe that misery left to its own devices will make us depressed. So I don't want to be depressed, and I don't want to be miserable. I don't want you to be depressed. I don't want you to be miserable. And I don't want to leave that problem all by itself for it to fester. I want to solve the problem so that misery diminishes. It doesn't increase. So if you find yourself that you are miserable, you have got to have an action plan that you are going to pursue. In James chapter 5, we're going to read about one of the ways that people respond to the fact that they're miserable. James chapter 5 and verse number, let's begin reading at verse number 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced. And I think this must be one of those situations where I wrote down the wrong reference again. Oh, my goodness. Let me look here just a second. See if I can find it. I'll tell you my point, and that is this, that some people, their response to misery is simply to weep and wail over it. All they do is they simply cry over it, and God has not called. Oh, it's verse number 1. I'm sorry. It's not verse number 17. I thought it was 7, then it was thought of 17. It says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be against you and will eat your flesh like fire. In other words, there are some people that all they do, their only approach to misery is to cry over it. Now, I'm telling you that I have cried, and it reminded me of my, you know, that I still wasn't hard-hearted. But crying really doesn't do much for me. I know some people that they find crying to be very therapeutic. But crying's not going to solve your problem. Praying will, crying won't. And so I want to encourage you, don't just sit in a heap and bawl over the situation. God wants to give you a solution. The people who were rich were weeping and wailing because they found out money wasn't going to make them happy. They found out that God was watching over the people that they were oppressing, and that God was listening to their prayers, and that judgment was coming. And so weeping and wailing won't change the misery, but repentance would. Repentance would. And so I encourage you to repent. Now, Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse number 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let them drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. There's a great argument here for not participating in alcohol and allowing. Let me just point out the real meaning of this word, intoxicating drink. The root word of that is toxic. That means it's poison. It causes you to not respond with wisdom. And it says there are certain, it is not for royalty, it is not for princes, it is not for kings to damage their rationale processes by participating in those things. I heard something earlier this year that I didn't know, and that was that they had found that alcohol actually suppresses the immune system of your body to where you are more susceptible for the coronavirus than before. And it's like, there's another great reason to do it. I don't want to suppress or compromise my immune system. I want to fortify it. So it says here that there are people who choose alcohol because they're miserable, they're bitter, and they're trying to drink to drown their problems or forget their problems or just to escape from their problems for a little while. But the problem with that is it doesn't solve the problem. You wake up and you find that the problem has grown. If you spend all your money on alcohol trying to drown your miseries, now you've got a financial misery to go with what other misery you had before. You've neglected people, so now you are miserable because you don't have as many allies on your side as you did before. You don't ever want to try and escape your problems with drugs or alcohol because it only makes them bigger. It only makes them worse. Now, one more verse, and then we're going to go back to Jonah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In this life only we have, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable, or another translation says most miserable. Okay? So I want you to understand that there is hope for the Christians in this life, but it is a hope that is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and thus the resurrection of the dead when the last trump shall sound. So he says that if it's only for this life, then we are going to be very miserable because we have believed and embraced deception. But I've got good news for you. The resurrection is not, he's not saying that the resurrection is a falsehood. He is saying it is a certainty. It is a fact. It is the anchor of our faith. And so you and I do not deal with the same misery issues that the rest of the world does because Jesus has been raised from the dead. That means every problem we ever face is going to be solved. If all you're doing is sitting around like Jonah in chapter 4 and verse number 6, and you're just content being miserable for the rest of your life, I want you to understand this. God has brought this word to you today the same way he brought that plant to Jonah. You didn't have to work for it. It has just come to your radio today to be a blessing, to say, you know what? I bet there's people around me that God wants to redeem. And they might be some really horrible people right now, but they may be an awesome testimony in the days to come. I want to encourage you. When people come to Jesus, heaven celebrates. They don't sit around waiting for judgment to fall. They're looking for people to get saved. Let's rejoice instead of be miserable. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
It's well past midnight, and I'm awake with questions that won't wait for daylight, separating fact from my imaginary fiction. On this shelf of my conviction, I need to find a place where you and I come face to face. Thomas needed proof that you had really risen undefeated when he placed his fingers where the nails once broke your skin. Did his faith finally begin? I've lied if I've denied the common ground I've shared.